St. Paul speaks to us today, and he says, do not conform yourselves to this age, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. Obviously, he's telling us that the way of the world is not the way that we should follow. It's so easy to fall into the mentality of the culture, of the things of this world. What is that culture? The culture says, take care of yourself. Look out for number one. Make sure you're doing for yourself and stamp and trample on everyone else if you have to. And Jesus says, it shall not be so with you. We hear this rather interesting gospel today, which shows us more of how our mind must be renewed and transformed. Last week, you remember that Jesus asked his disciples, who do people say that the Son of Man is? And they came up with all these answers. And then Jesus said, but who do you say that I am? And Simon Peter said, well, you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, yes, you got it, but you didn't get it on your own. My Father in heaven showed that to you. You are Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church. This passage from today's gospel immediately follows that, where Jesus then says, and so as Christ, I must go to the cross. I must suffer. And I must be killed. And on the third day be raised. And Peter, who just said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God, says, it shall not be, Lord. And Jesus says, get behind me, Satan. It shall not be. He still didn't understand who Jesus was supposed to be, what it meant for him to be the Christ. He didn't realize that Jesus had to suffer. Why did Jesus have to suffer? Why did Jesus have to die in order to save us from our sins? Well, there's been a lot of ink spilled over this one question. But my own personal reflections come down to this. In order to save us from our sins, Jesus did not have to suffer and die on the cross. He could have made a decree and said, you are washed clean. He could have come to earth and had one drop of his blood come out. And that would have been enough to wash away every single one of your sins and every single one of my sins. But lovers are not minimalists. Jesus came into this world to show us that God is desperately head over heels in love with you and with me. He came into this world to show us that God is not someone to be feared, but someone to be loved. Not someone simply to be worshipped and sacrificed to, but also someone to be intimate with. And so he came and became one of us. And he said, I will show them. I will show them how much I care. And he took on every single pain and hurt that we endure. You see, way back with Adam and Eve, the world broke and suffering entered in. And there was this great division that then happened because of that sin between humanity and God, between humanity and each other, between humanity and nature, and then within each person. I'm sure you've seen this in yourself. I know I see it all the time. I don't do what I want to do. I do what I don't want to do. The things that go on, I have trouble with myself. I have issues of misunderstanding with the people around me. The things of nature, you know, as the mosquitoes are biting me and, you know, all the things that we don't like. And there are times that we run from God. And God says, I will enter into that broken world. I will go deep within and I will take on every bit of that suffering. He endured such physical torment, more than anyone else in the world. He endured emotional torment as he felt the pain of rejection, the suffering of betrayal by one he loved so much. He felt spiritual suffering for the distance, for he had always felt close to his Abba, his daddy, his Father in heaven. And now he no longer felt his presence. He very poignantly felt his absence. He knows our sufferings from the inside. And Peter says, "No, it shall not be that way, Lord." And he says, "I have to do this. You do not understand. I'm doing this to show you how much I love you. I'm doing this to show you that I will give everything so that you won't be far from me, so that you won't run away, so that you can get close to my heart." And in that, Jesus shows us suffering is not the worst thing in the world. He takes that suffering, he takes that cross, and he transforms it by the resurrection, transforms it into something new, into life, into goodness, into wholeness. And now when we follow him, when we deny ourselves, when we take up our crosses, when we follow him, then those crosses now become grace pouring into people's lives. It's an amazing thing. I've seen it over and over and over again. The very small, tiny sufferings that I have had to endure now become something immeasurably greater in God's hands. I'm not saying we have to go looking for sufferings. We all have plenty of sufferings in our lives, I'd say, quite frankly. But we take those sufferings we have and we look to Christ and we say, "I give this to you, Jesus, because I love you. Take this, Jesus, for your great love, and transform it in me." None of us like sufferings. None of us like to bear the crosses of this world. But when we do it for love, it gives us purpose. It gives us something to live for. And not only purpose, God does such great things. He transforms our little gift immeasurably. My sisters and brothers, let us ask Jesus to transform our minds, to transform us by a renewal of our mind, so that we may not follow the ways of the world, but say, "Go after yourself, go after pleasure and comfort and taking care of yourself," but rather let us deny ourselves and follow Christ. Let us say no to our little things that I want, so that we can show Almighty God, so that we can show love to the people around us. After all, if you're getting married, who do you want to marry? Someone who's a miser? Someone who's selfish? No. You want someone who's generous, someone who's selfless, someone who gives of themselves. That's where love is tested. That's where love is seen. And so let us show that love by our willingness to take up our cross and follow Christ.